But that,
I was going to say, that is, to this day, WWE hits my ear wrong.
Yeah, pandas beat out Vince McMahon. That's the one thing that can defeat him.
Who
is pandas.
Thunk?
But yeah, she's going to be a wrestler now. Yay.
Well, what's interesting is that it's become kind of a controversy because, you know, in the wrestling community, it's a lot of people frown upon WWE as being kind of an exploitative sector of the sport. As I mean, you kind of can't deny that it is. It's at the UFC, you have people just dressed in what is the most comfortable and makes the most sense, exhibiting all the various areas of martial arts and wrestling and hand-to-hand combat that they know. And in WWE, you have a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Don't you try and tell me that wrestling's not real.
Oh, I know it's real.
Don't you try and tell me that wrestling's not real.
That won't fly on the show. There was a huge, I forget which WWE wrestler was that came out and said, it is choreographed, but it is very real. It is no way fake. When it looks like I broke my nose, I broke my nose. But what's interesting is that, how she ended up announcing this is that she made a surprise appearance on Sunday at the Royal Rumble in Philly and ended up walking out in the middle of the event and pointed the sign for WrestleMania, which is scheduled for New Orleans in April, as Joan Jett's bad reputation blared through the arena. The Royal Rumble winner slapped her hand away on an offer and a handshake, but then she left the ring and walked over to Stephanie McMahon, who shook hands with her, and then she left without saying a word. But it's the big controversy here is that people have said, you know, it's unclear whether this is just going to be all she focuses on now, if she's permanently leaving the UFC
and
mixed martial arts. Well, what she said when she was asked by ESPN is, everyone else seems to be wondering that too. I mean, I never retired from judo, so that's what you guys want to think. All I know is I really want to devote 100% of my time to wrestling right now, and whatever people want to call that, they can call it. But UFC President Dana White has said that per this action, Ronda will never fight for the company again.
Oh, that's nonsense.
That's what he said.
Yeah. No, Brock Lesnar is never going to fight for UFC again. Please stop it.
Look, I was going to say, if it's going to make money, it's going to make money. Those are famous last words. I think that this is just, it's just like if somebody decides to leave the cheerleading squad to try for being dance captain instead. She's like, she'll never cheer again. But if she comes back, it's like, okay, fine, we'll let you back in.
I don't get the whole Ronda Rousey thing. She's a mediocre fighter at best.
Really? Think Rowdy Rousey's a mediocre fighter?
Who got her butt kicked whenever she was put in the ring with a legitimate challenger.
I will say that ever since, I'm trying to remember the first girl that like not only defeated her, but like, everyone was so excited for that fight. I wish I could remember.
Was the Australian? I forget.
So excited for that fight. It ended after like 12 seconds, and she knocked her out in like 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And I remember that was the moment that everyone was like, "Oh, we have been overhyping Ronda Rousey."
Yeah, she's a product of pure hype.
That's the thing. It's because she can. It's not that she can't fight, but she had this hype of like, oh, she's the best female fighter in the world. No, she was an adequate female fighter who was pretty and marketable. That's the thing, is that she...
I don't even find her that pretty, but okay.
I mean, I'd bang her.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck. Something about sex.
No.
No? Then I don't know.
There's sex in the background. Will not be presenting the Best Actress Award at the 2018 Academy Awards.
Yes, I was going to say because of the sex thing.
To the relief, as has been tradition, the former Best Actor winner presents the Best Actress Award the following year. I am sure to the unending relief of the Academy, Casey Affleck has said he will not be attending. Likely due to the multiple cash settlements that he has paid to women who have accused him of sexually harassing them on the sets of his films.
Well, what's funny is that someone, Gold Derby, actually did a poll asking who they would like to replace him. And exactly half, it was a write-in, so you could pick anybody you want. Exactly half said that they want Tom Hanks to do it.
I think Harvey Weinstein should do it, but that's
Oh, you're adorable, Derek. You know that? Republican retreat.
That was this happened earlier today. They
chartered
an Amtrak to get a few dozen Republicans out to someplace in West Virginia, and they slammed into a garbage truck that was on the tracks, killed the driver, critically injured one passenger, and injured a third passenger. One of the Republican senators suffered a concussion. Apparently, there were a couple of doctors. Rand Paul was on that, I'm sure. Mm. So the doctors were tending to the people who were injured.
Yeah.
They're still going to go ahead with their retreat, I guess. But according to neighbors near the grade crossing, the gate had been malfunctioning recently.
I was going to say the thing that's supposed to go down and be like, hey, don't cross these tracks right now.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's gonna be on their public works department.
Yeah, that's gonna wreck your, that's absolutely gonna wreck your retreat. I kind of feel bad for these senators. Paul Ryan was there. A lot of them had their wives and children with them.
Oh yeah,
the train.
And my brother has been on an Amtrak train when it struck somebody. But this person, they upon investigation found out was purposely committing suicide.
Yeah.
But he was on a train when it struck somebody, and he told me the way that it looks in movies and what's spread across the train is quite real.
Yeah.
Quite realistic. And I can't imagine being a 7-year-old on a trip with my dad, senator or not, and having to experience that loud crash, the shrapnel flying everywhere. I mean, I read the story and I was just like, I mean, you know how I feel about Republicans, but even they don't deserve to have something like that happen to them.
Yeah.
On what is supposed to be I don't know if I'd say fun, because I don't know how fun Republican retreats are, but something that's supposed to be, you know, an enjoyable occasion.
I'm shocked that Nancy Pelosi hasn't come out with a statement saying, now we see how Republicans treat working Americans.
They hit them with trains.
Yeah, that's, you know. Chapstick.
I need some right now. Oh, I don't know. You're killing me this week.
Did you watch the rebuttal last night?
No, I just watched. I watched the, well, when I could stand it without throwing up, I watched the state, but I stopped after that and changed to Gilmore Girls.
Joe Kennedy looked like he was drooling during the rebuttal, and this has been widely noted online. My thought watching it was that he had over Vaselined his teeth to keep his lips from sticking to them.
I was going
to
say, that's an old beauty pageant trip.
Turns out it was chapstick. And that he used way too much chapstick, and it had gathered in the corners of his mouth, but it did make it look like he was drooling.
I mean, I'm looking at pictures of him right now.
That, you've got to watch the video, because when you get the full effect of him moving side to side and the shine picking up on it, it's... but that, combined with his halting cadence, and the fact that he seemed to be catching his breath through the first 3 minutes of the speech... Not the best showing for Mr. Kennedy on the national stage.
And I'm someone, I get like chronic chapped lips. So I use like chapstick or Carmex every night before I go to bed. I just like make like a ring of it around my lips. Yeah. So I know what that looks like. I'm looking at this right now. That's not what it looks like.
Yeah. Somebody really should have.
Somebody should have tossed some Kleenex in his breast pocket there.
Tipped him off to that. Poor Joe Kennedy.
Let's see. CDC.
This would be Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald, who is the latest head of the Centers for Disease Control to resign.
Yes.
And she just got the job a couple of months ago, but then she went out and bought a bunch of tobacco and pharmaceutical stocks.
Because that makes tons of sense and is totally not a conflict of interest when you're the head of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
So not a conflict of interest. When is the witch hunt going to end, Shay?
Yeah.
When is it going to end?
Why is everyone making people out to be so irresponsible?
Oh, my God. What is Dr. Fitzgerald, what is wrong with you? How do you not know that you can't do that?
Yeah, like, seriously, that's... It was so unbelievable to read that. I'm like, of all the things, like, this is like... I don't even know what to compare it to. It's like Bill Gates investing in Apple. Like, it just doesn't... It's how would you ever think this was a good idea? And P.S., you're in the public eye, obviously. And this is a public company that you're investing in, which means it's public information.
Just because Congress buys stocks in the companies that they regulate doesn't mean that everyone in Washington can do that.
God.
If you're head of the CDC, you're... Yeah. You're not getting the benefit of the doubt on this.
Yeah, no one's going to be like, oh, maybe she had good reason. No. No. And that's the thing, too, is that there are other posts in Washington that everybody would really probably not even blink an eye at it.
Yeah.
But this is... This is center versus East control for investing. Like, even when I read this, I was like, I had to kind of close my eyes for a second and open my eyes again and read it again. This is someone from the head of the Center for Disease Control investing in the biggest causer of disease in our country.
Well,
other than McDonald's. Why don't you just invest in every fast food chain?
I saw the headline. And it didn't...
Maybe invest in OxyContin while you're at it.
It didn't resonate with me immediately because I looked at it and I'm like, well, you know, what's wrong with owning tobacco stocks if you're the head of the CDC? And my first thought was, oh, these are the anti-smoking people going after her. How dare you invest in tobacco stocks? And then I stopped and thought about it for a minute and I was like, wait a minute, that's a massive conflict of interest. Because you have final say over whether or not things get approved.
Obviously. Let's maybe lay off the tobacco companies. No reason.
Yeah.
Like, are you still to this point? I can't stop laughing about it. Like, how stupid can you be?
It's one of those things, and that's why it caught me off guard, is because it's one of those things that's so dumb that you just assume... Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, no one is this stupid.
Nobody's just going to be like, oh, hey, I'm in charge. Let me go buy some stock now. You know, no, don't spend your first CDC paycheck on tobacco and pharmaceutical stocks. It's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, like invest in spinach or something.
There's a very good chance that somebody within the sound of our voices may be head of the CDC someday. Please take this advice to heart.
Yes.
Don't buy pharmaceutical and tobacco stocks if you find yourself running the CDC.
Or maybe just...
That's bad.
If you're a rational human being in general, don't buy tobacco stock.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be... I mean, yes, I do purchase their products begrudgingly. Addiction is annoying. But this isn't something we're supposed to be actively and like heavily fundingly supporting. This is...
No, but I mean, that's less of an issue than just the general conflict of interest at play here.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
Well, like I said,
you
it's
regulate
Bill, it's
this.
Bill
you
Gates,
can't...
It's Bill Gates investing in Apple. It's bonkers.
Yeah. One of those moments that just sort of makes you shake your head.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about that. Let's talk about Davumi.
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 Davumi. Davuyu. Davumi.
It's just a fun word to say.
Davumi.
Davumi. It's the thing about the fake Twitter people.
Yes, it is. They ran a giant, the New York Times did a big investigation on Davumi, which is a company that promised totally real English-speaking Facebook followers. And Twitter followers to people who gave them money. As it turns out, no, they weren't. They were completely fake. And so they are now under investigation by the Federal Trade Commission, the Florida Attorney General, and the New York Attorney General. This was a Florida-based company. Do I need to say anything more?
you know how we feel about Florida, folks.
Yeah. Interestingly, one of the board members of Twitter... Martha Lane, who is a British businesswoman, lost six... Because Twitter started investigating Davumi and getting rid of all of their accounts. Twitter board member Martha Lane Fox lost 65,000 followers that day. She's a board member of Twitter. But the interesting thing...
I would say a lot of celebrities, too, like John Leguizamo,
yeah.
Clay Aiken.
The big fallout from this is that Richard Roper... who is now one of America's deans of film criticism, has been suspended by the Chicago Sun-Times for buying Twitter followers.
Well, and this is very interesting to me, particularly because this is a common practice amongst comedians because it's a...
Because you're not that popular.
I think that the way that they legitimize it, and hey, any Boston comedians who are listening... yeah, I know you did that and you know who you are. But it's more of a, the way that it's legitimized is the fake it till you make it, or like project success and you'll be successful.
Yeah.
Because if you suddenly have 20,000 Twitter followers, other people look and are like, this person has 20,000 Twitter followers. Maybe they're worth following, as opposed to someone who comes by them naturally and has, I don't know, 942. Like, I don't know, maybe one of the co-hosts of this show, at Shay Spillane, follow me. I'm better at Instagram, but I put it through there too.
I am so glad that I am no longer stuck in the cycle of thirsty, brand new Boston comedians trying to friend me on Facebook. Because I used to bat away dozens of them every week.
It'd be like, you're so popular, Derek.
And then it's, because the thing about it is, once you friend one of them, they all pile in, and then all their friends in other parts of the country start piling in, and suddenly everybody's like, oh, be my friend, be my friend, be my friend. And you wind up with a feed that's got 10,000 comics in it, all writing bad jokes, and you just want to give up on comedy entirely.
That's why the unfollow button is perhaps the most wonderful invention in the world.
I am a particular fan of the ignore button myself, because it does the same thing.
Does indeed.
Without breaking anybody's heart. Well, that was it.
Yeah. I was going to say, we...
fake Twitter followers.
We went so efficiently through. Did you hear that? I just looked and was like, oh my God, I already did five.
Who are you and what did you do with Shay Spillane?
I don't know. I made her more responsible all of a sudden.
I'm not used to this. 855-9-
Look at me, I'm growing.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. That's 855-915-WMFO. Dial that number. You can be a part of the show. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight on The Town with Mikey D. They'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. But when we come back, the State of the Union, our orange president, speaks to America. In his first official, he gave the speech last year, which was sort of like, hi, I'm your president. This one was the real deal. And I have a feeling that Shay Spillane may be part of that narrow minority of Americans who were terrified by the speech last night. We'll find out more about that right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call and chime in at 855-915-WMFO. And now for our State of the Union. Where to begin?
Fill me with your leftist hatred and your bile so that I can wave it away and actually...
You're going to need a squeegee and a mop.
Deal with the reality of what happened last night.
Well, okay. Couple of things. First of all, as a whole, you know in sports movies when there's the scene before the big game where the coach is saying all this like super motivational, pumped up stuff and you know that like... Most of it is conjecture and has absolutely no factual basis, but it's really getting the team excited and everyone's cheering.
Hoorah!
That's the way the entirety of last night felt.
Oh, not... No.
Not the entirety, but that's the way a lot of moments of last night felt, of him being like, this, even though I have absolutely no facts to back this up, but this, yay! And everyone being like, woo! By the way, that's the first time in any of the State of the Unions that I've watched that it felt, not that the crowd was getting rowdy, but that it wasn't like opera house decorum.
It never is. They're always rowdy and hooting and hollering.
But it felt more hooty and hollery than usual.
No, it was about average in the hooting department. The USA, USA chant about 3/4 of the way through it was different.
That's what I'm referencing.
But the rest of the night was your usual sort of, background noise for State of the Union.
So great. But that's the thing is, even if what he said was nonsense, it was so spiritedly said that everyone totally was like, yeah, Trump. But I what I noticed the most, and I read after reading the transcript and watching it last night, even though me, I had to leave the room to scream into the mirror a couple times. The biggest theme that I saw throughout the whole thing, especially watching reading other interpretations of it or other reviews of it, just to try to get my bearings on what I was actually thinking, how to word it properly, which there's a great New York Times article that basically illustrates the point I'm about to make, even though I'd already thought of it and was like, oh my God, I'm smart. The New York Times is saying the same thing. It was a lot of him congratulating himself for things that weren't really his accomplishments. It was not that... I'd say that there are things that it was a trend that was already happening that he maintained that was maintained under his leadership, that he acted as though it was all him when it was really like, well, yeah, but you've been president for a year. You didn't accomplish that in a year. That has been a trend that has been happening for a decade and you're taking credit for it.
Fair criticism, but every president does it. This wasn't anything that Trump invented. Presidents have been doing this for as long as the State of the Union has been televised.
But it's just, when it's him, it just seems so much more pompous.
Well, that's because of your personal bias, but, and I will give you this. The one thing that was driving me nuts last night was the way that he kept applauding at the podium. Somebody should have figured out how to turn off the microphone when he was doing that, because it was the most distracting thing ever. Yeah. What you don't want is somebody doing this into a microphone all night long, which is what he was doing. And I was screaming at the television, someone please get him to stop applauding.
And also, you're not supposed to applaud for yourself. If you're going to be sitting there, if you're going to be standing there saying, I created so many jobs and I brought this company back to America and I this and I that. Hasn't he ever watched the Oscars when they announce the nominee? They clap for everybody else, but when they're announced, they just do the humble, thank you, thank you.
He
put their hands in the air.
He didn't start out applauding for himself. He was applauding members of Congress,
he was applauding
other people. But you don't applaud at all. Someone please get that message to our president next year, please.
Or if you do applaud, take a note from people on the radio and hold it away from the microphone.
Yes.
Here, this is me clapping into the microphone. This is me clapping a foot and a half from the microphone.
Drove me up a wall.
Completely
drove me
different.
Up a wall.
Ay, ay, ay. But I did, there were a couple of things I noted. I thought it was very funny. And maybe that, I don't even know if I'm the only person that noticed it. And because I hate Trump so much, because I dislike our president so much, I will be a bit more respectful because he is the president.
You can be a hater. You're allowed to be a hater on this show.
Because I hate Trump so much. I loved when he was talking about how the African American unemployment rate stands at the lowest 8 ever,
which is true.
It is true. But again, first of all, this is a question, as I said, of how much he can really take credit for that, because this is the culmination of a longer trend. Like, this isn't like all of a sudden last January 21st of last year, boom, all of a sudden the African-American employment rate goes way down. It's like this has been happening consistently over the last decade. But what I loved is that he said that, everyone's applauding, and the camera pans to a group of African-Americans in the audience who are sitting there stoned-faced.
Yeah, that was the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yes.
And that was, that may warm your heart, but that was actually a very, very bad look.
On their part. Well, not being supportive of the president during the State of the Union. Yeah, I understand that. But I did just think it was, I thought it was rather, I don't want to say poetic because that sounds super cheesy, but
the other thing,
it was almost symbolic of him taking credit for something like that, given the other instances in terms of him and race
occurred. Some of it is a result of what he's done in the past year. Does he get all the credit for it? No, but he gets some of the credit for it. And certainly hiring is up. There are new jobs being created in this country as a result of his policies, as a result of him being in the White House. So,
well, and that's,
do you get credit for the whole 10 years of improvement since the recession? No, but you get to claim a little piece of it.
Well, and that's, I will say this for President Fartnoys. I will give him credit insofar as when he got elected, my cohorts and I, or those like-minded to me and I, treated it very much like a something of an apocalypse. like everything that we have fought for, everything that we accomplished under Obama is going to fall apart and be stripped and sold for parts. And this, as much as, like I said, I thought he was incredibly pompous, and I thought that most of what he was saying was like, now, okay, that's true, but you're not including the context or the background of this. I will say that it did make me think, both watching it, reading the transcript, reading various opinion articles about it, that the one thing that I think that struck me that he definitely that he said that definitely kind of made me think is, it's not, yeah, there are things that have happened that I greatly disagree with. There are stances that he has and policies he's trying to put forth and policies he has put forth that I disagree with. But all in all, it hasn't been the apocalyptic disaster that a lot of people on the left side of things like me predicted. And on top of that,
it's been worse than that, actually. And we'll get to that in a minute.
But on top of that, I mean, since he got elected, we've all been looking for a reason to impeach him. Not, I say we all in terms of all of us that do not like Trump. I'm not saying all of America, because obviously very much of America, especially the middle part, still really likes him. But one thing he said, I'm trying to find it in my notes. One thing he said that really struck me was the matter of that we have to stop viewing things as bipartisan and stop viewing things as like, I'm in this party, and start really just kind of burying the hatchet and focusing on trying to accomplish things that will be best for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know how genuine that statement was, but I do think that he, at least the fact that he included it, at least gave, it made me think in terms of, well, it's like, it's like a, something my grandfather used to say, where holding a grudge is like taking poison and waiting for it to kill the other person. And just because I don't like Trump isn't going to change the fact that he is our president, and hating him and spreading a ton of hate about him and spending every effort just to try to get him impeached and get other people to hate him. We've been doing that for a year, and it doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't seem to be accomplishing anything. If anything, it's separating us as a country even more. And the fact that he said that, I would say the fact that he said that made me think, well, you know, I don't have to like him, but everyone's trying to get him impeached. Hasn't happened yet. So what's the solution? Do we just keep going down this bitter, I hate you road? Or do we try to take those words at face value and say, yeah, why don't we just... I'm not saying you have to like him. I'm not saying you have to be happy that he's our president. I know that I will do neither of those things. But I do also think that there is some value to the idea of stop no longer thinking of us as liberal and conservative, and instead thinking of us as we all just want to be okay.
Yep.
Let's see what we can do to do that.
Here's CBS conducted a poll immediately after the State of the Union asking people who had watched it what they thought of it. And the breakdown that they had of viewers, which I think actually aligns pretty well with the actual breakdown of viewers, 42% Republican, so you got more Republicans than usual watching this thing, 29% Democrat, fewer Democrats than usual watching this, 33% Independent. So in two of those numbers, you're not far off from the actual political makeup of the United States. You are overweighted toward Republicans by about 11%. 75%. Of Americans approved of that State of the Union. 75% approved of it, 25% disapproved. Now, the interesting thing about that, 29% of the people they asked were Democrats,
yeah,
which means 4% of the Democrats approved of the speech. Interesting number. Then they asked people how the speech made them feel. One of the responses was scared. Scared.
I'm shaking in
CBS
my boots.
CBS is actually asking people, did the State of the Union make you feel scared? 14% said yes. Now, what have I said in the past? One out of every 10 Americans holds a ridiculous view on any subject that you put in front of them. 1 in 10 holds a ridiculous view on anything you put in front of them. We're over-indexing on that by quite a bit. We're at 14% hold a ridiculous view that the State of the Union scared them. 21% were angry. Well, there's your Democrats. 65%, their response was proud. 65%.
Wow.
And here's the thing. I went into that last night with the lowest expectations imaginable. I was expecting that this would be the first State of the Union written in crayon, and that Donald Trump had repeatedly gone to his advisors and said, no big words, Please, no big words. but he actually had some big words in there. What I thought was fascinating about it was all of the people that he brought in to illustrate the different points that he was making were all everyday, you know, working people. You know, it wasn't in the past, we'd have these luminaries of business and these luminaries and, you know, you'd have one or two everyday people that came in. Pretty much everybody that was in there was a soldier or DEA agent or small business owner.
Or that firefighter.
Or the firefighter, the 12-year-old kid that's doing the thing to get the flags out on all the veterans' graves.
Oh, yeah.
Everyday Americans.
Doing American stuff.
Doing their jobs extremely well, or showing extraordinary kindness, or showing some aspect of what makes America a strong country.
You mean what makes America great?
Yeah, again. He did get the tagline in there at the end. Never get off your branding. But throughout the whole, there were two things that struck me in the speech. Number one was that theme of unity that you mentioned that ran through the whole thing. And particularly at the end where he was talking about the Capitol building and saying this belongs to the American people, and talking about Congress and saying our job is to represent them. The country is theirs, which is a direct blindside.
For the people, by the people.
On the elites who have hijacked both parties. Now, I'm not saying that's a Democrat problem or a Republican problem.
It's an American problem.
The elites have hijacked both parties. And this is the president coming out and saying, stop that.
Well, and that I think it's, well, and I mean, months and months ago, I said how he, when he was campaigning, he was saying whatever he needed to get everybody's vote.
Yeah.
But I do think that as much
or
as,
if you believe the book, saying things hoping that everyone would think he was crazy and not vote for him.
But, well, I think that, and then I said, you know, now he's actually got to lead us. And I think that that is, I still don't love him. I still think that he is always looking out for number one. And number one, by number one, I do not mean our country. But I think maybe it is at least a little starting to set into him, even if it doesn't necessarily go with his personal politics or his personal agenda, that, you know what, dude, like, you made this bed. You better lie in it at least decently well.
Yeah.
Because especially, I mean, just the sheer fact that he wants to get reelected. He's made that very clear.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure that he does, but
well, he at least on publicly, he acts as though he wants to be reelected. I don't know if he does either, because I to this day maintain that he jumped into this race just as a publicity stunt. Never expected, nor did anyone really, like anyone in that inner circle, anyone in that community. I don't think anyone was being like, oh yeah, Donald Trump's got a shot at being president. And not only did he get the nomination, he got the seat. Like he's in there, which is, I mean, again, I always just, whenever I watch anything with him, I just think, poor Melania. She thought she was just getting her cushy life with some Joe Blow billionaire. And
But now
she's got to stand there and pose in Jackie O suits.
But to bring this back around, the first thing that I thought was interesting was the unity call and the fact that this was very much an appeal to recognize the amazing things that Americans do every day and for government to be a part of it. That was sort of the overall big theme of it. The other thing that struck me about the message and the speech is that he did not mention the middle class once. And normally, when you've got the president giving the State of the Union, we're middle class this, middle class that, middle class the other thing. Did not mention the middle class once.
Yeah.
He talked about the poor.
I would say he talked about lower than 50 grand a year.
He talked about the poor a lot. And he talked about...
Which I will say, I appreciate the tax credit he's given me this year.
We don't get that from Republicans. And the other thing that he brought up last night, because there's always a little bit of policy mixed into these things.
Of course.
The prescription drug costs.
Which that, I was going to say, that he was absolutely correct on.
That's a Republican. Again, Donald Trump is not really a Republican. That's a Republican saying, no, we're gonna kick the pharmaceutical companies and the nards, and we're gonna get the prices down.
I'm gonna say, and all his friends are sitting there being like, "What are you doing, dude?"
Pharmaceutical stocks took a hit on Wall Street today.
Not surprising. Well, it is. I will say so. Like, as I think a lot of our listeners know, I lived in Italy for a while, and there the healthcare system is completely different. It's socialized, and also you don't get a prescription from a doctor unless it's a controlled substance. If you need something, you go into the pharmacy and say, this is what's wrong with me, and they give it to you.
Well, no, they don't give it to you. Five doctors walk into the room and yell at each other for 10 minutes, and then they all walk out, and then somebody comes in and gives it to you.
Well, while I was there, I
is that an accurate description of the Italian health system?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I know my Italians.
I had a cold sore, and I said to the lady that I was living with, what kind of colds? Like, do you have a Breva? Like, what do you have here? And she goes, oh, go in and tell them you need Zovirex. And I go in, I tell them I need Zovirex, and they sell it to me for, I think, maybe 17 euro, which at the time would have been like 25 bucks. Worked amazingly. Cold sore gone in 2 days.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I'll pay 25 bucks for that.
Oh, you can't hear. Because then I come back to America, I'm looking, I figured it was just this new version of a Breva, like this new chemical development they made. I'm walking up and down the cold aisle, can't find it anywhere. So finally I go to the pharmacist and I say, do you have Zovirex? And I like wrote down the name, and they're looking. Oh yeah, you need a prescription to get that. So I spend the money to go to the doctor to get a prescription. I come back. At the time I had Medi-Cal, which is the California version of MassHealth, which only works in California. The Zovirex cost $327.
Holy cow.
$327 for a tube of cream.
Yeah.
That, it's like, how are all these men running these pharmaceutical companies not in jail?
That's
part of the point that I'm making, that he is, I do, as much as I don't like him and I do not like that he's our president, he is making an effort to look at things objectively, to look at things not just from his billionaire standpoint, look at things in terms of the people that he has been elected to govern.
As I've said in the past, Donald Trump views the world through a balance sheet. He doesn't see people. He sees
numbers,
factors, and he sees things that impede growth and encourage growth. And while he has not ever come out and explicitly said this, his presidency is about removing things that impede growth.
Yes.
And he hit that point last night talking about the $1.3 trillion that he wants for infrastructure. I don't know where that money's coming from, by the way.
I was going to say, I thought that was perhaps the most adorable and naive statement he made.
if that's why 14% of Americans told CBS they're scared, I'm with you. I'm scared.
I was going to say, I could just picture Congress sitting there being like, so how are we supposed to do that?
1.3 trillion. Where's that coming from? You just gave everyone a tax cut. We don't have it.
Sell that big gold-plated building in New York and maybe we'll make a tiny dent in it.
If it's a public works project to get Americans working again, fine, do it that way and we'll pay for it down the road, but ye gods, come up with a way to fund this. And I've lost my train of thought on where I was going right now.
Because the word trillion makes anyone lose their train of thought.
That's scary. Oh, I know what I was going to say. The fact that he brought up the permitting process in that. And he was like, we need to get the permitting. Why does it take 10 years to get a permit?
I will say, though, that here's the thing. Obviously that is a noble question to ask. And again, in line with the theme that, as I said, it seems as though he's at least trying to consider the actual small town, small American issues. Again, it's one of those things. He was like, it only took a year to build the Empire State Building. That was building it. The permit process, they changed the plans for the Empire State Building 15 times. The permit process took a very, 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 very long time.
That was also when you lost about 7 workers per floor.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
When building things like
say,
that.
And you know? A bunch of people died because they were rushing to get it done.
It's better that we do it, but he makes a good point.
He does make a good, I mean, I understand the logic behind, or at least the logic behind the analogy he was making, and that we can build one of the biggest skyscrapers in the world in a year, and someone wants to repave a road with potholes and it's taking them forever.
Right.
Like that part I do understand. But again, it was just, he did better than I expected. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I was surprised. I really was surprised. Just a little perspective. He did bring up nuclear weapons, and he didn't talk a lot about defense, and he didn't talk a lot about enemies of the United States. It was a speech that was very heavily focused on domestic policy. But he did bring up the need to modernize the nuclear arsenal. And I thought it was very interesting. Again, this is a Republican saying this. When after talking about that, he said, maybe someday the world will come to a point where we can all agree to get rid of our nuclear weapons. And then followed it up by saying, we're not there yet. And that to me is a very telling statement from him, because that's Donald Trump saying, look, I don't want these. I don't like these, but we have to have these.
Yeah.
Those who keep their ear to the ground on what's happening in the military and what's happening in the Pentagon understand what that request was. And very simply, Donald Trump is not saying we need more nuclear weapons. He's just saying
we need the ones we have as a preventative measure.
He is reacting to a technology that has been developed. The Russians have implemented it across their nuclear arsenal, which is known as dial-a-yield. And the way that dial-a-yield works is you can take a single nuclear weapon and you can set it to a quarter megaton and you can use it tactically on a battlefield, or you can set it to 200 megatons and use it to take out a suburb.
Yeah.
The Russians have this. The Pentagon is losing their minds because we don't have this. And we need to have this to match our greatest threat.
I would say not even necessarily to use it, but just to point to it and say, we could use this.
Exactly. So when he talks about nuclear weapons, that's what he's talking about, is this specific technology that we don't have yet.
I would say the one line that did kind of maybe go, and makes me understand the 14% who are scared, is he really likes the word annihilate.
Yeah.
Him saying, not that I forget what the exact quote was. It's not in my notes, but like, not that we ever want to be violent, but if there's a threat, we will annihilate it.
Yeah.
It's like, you couldn't have just said stop. You could say stop. That creates a much vaguer picture in one's mind.
I forget who it was, which president
we'll
was.
Annihilate it.
Forget which president it was that said walk softly and carry a big stick.
Woodrow Wilson.
It was Wilson.
Or was it Theodore Roosevelt? It was someone.
I think it was Roosevelt. Actually, I was going to say Roosevelt.
It's speak softly but carry a big stick.
Yeah, Trump is all about speaking loudly. You know, there's no the big stick is there at all times.
Yeah, it was Theo.
Watch out for that big stick because Donald Trump's coming.
It was Teddy Rose.
855-915-9636. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She's Shea Spillane. On the Town with Mikey D, that's what comes up at 9 o'clock tonight. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories of the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Where we would go. If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. We are here with you till 9 o'clock, and we're going to wrap things up with What's Hot, which is our favorite things that happened in the last week. For me, this has actually been happening for a while, but I read an article about it yesterday and loved it so much I wanted to share it with you guys. There's a Fort Worth, Texas police officer named Damon Cole who spent the last several years traveling the country in his time off to dress as various superheroes for kids in hospitals. He hops on planes or drives himself in his customized Dodge Charger, which has become his unofficial superhero mobile. He drives it to meet children suffering from cancer and other illnesses while dressed as their favorite superheroes, such as Batman, Iron Man, or the Incredible Hulk. It's all part of his nonprofit charity that's called Heroes and Cops Against Childhood Cancer. Cole's love for playing superheroes has also crossed over into his police work with him using superhero paraphernalia as a way to help break down barriers between police and the community. Recently, he even stopped a crime while dressed as Batman. No joke. Cole started incorporating costumes into his police work 14 years ago when he worked for the Dallas Police Department, saying he was tired of seeing children being scared to approach or talk to police officers and wanted to do something more than give out stickers to reach out to them. Cole works as many extra hours as he can to raise money to buy more costumes and travel to visit children as their favorite superheroes. His secret identity started around 4 years ago when he learned about Bryce Schottel of Smithton, Illinois, who was a 7-year-old cancer patient who had a great love for Superman. He used 3 days of vacation time to drive to Illinois and make an appearance at Bryce's school as Iron Man and then at the hospital as Superman. All of the costumes and his custom superhero mobile are self-funded. The costumes aren't cheap and can run as much as $4,500, but Cole says that they have to look good because kids can spot imperfections thanks to all the superhero movies. The realism also helps Cole's mission of inspiring the kids to keep fighting and see that heroes do still exist in the world. This really touched my heart, and I'd love if all of you would, if you want to look more into it and figure out how you can donate, you can do so at his website, which is heroesandcopsagainstchildhoodcancer.org.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw this and was like, this dude is so cool. Like, and what a, I mean, it's cool to think of, because that's traditionally, you know, we've had a lot of issues with the police in the past couple years, and it's so nice to think of one of them like really going after the traditional way that you think of being a cop as a kid is you're a superhero.
Yeah.
You're there to save people, and what a great way to kind of really push that forth. But I read the story and I was just like, I have to share this with people because it's really heartwarming.
So this one's interesting, and this may not be sort of my usual what's hot kind of thing. But I find this story interesting. I don't quite know what to make out of it. Lego was supposed to have two of its architecture skyline sets out in January.
Wait, you're telling me that a Lego story is not something you would traditionally talk about? Because I'm going to go ahead and...
Follow me on this.
I'll bull on that.
Only one of them came out.
Okay.
And it was, I believe it's Hong Kong. Hong Kong, Singapore. It might be Singapore. I forget. I have it and I can't remember what it is. The other one was supposed to be Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas did not release because the Mandalay Bay Hotel
is included in it.
Was included in the skyline. And because of what happened at Mandalay Bay in October, they made a decision that they were going to delay it. Yesterday, they announced that they're going a step further. They're actually removing the Mandalay Bay Hotel from the set. So all the boxes that they've printed, all the instruction booklets that they've printed,
they're just going to redo all of it.
They're going to redo the whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
And it's sort of...
From a manufacturing standpoint, that is a nightmare.
It is, and it's expensive,
yeah.
And it's interesting, and it's generating sort of mixed response in the community, because there are people who are like, look, the hotel didn't do this. The hotel has nothing to do with this. if it's an interesting building, it's an interesting building. It should be included. And other people who are like, yes, get it out of there. We don't want to have anything to do with it. So clearly Lego feels that they're better off eating the cost of everything they've made so far.
Than angering somebody.
Than risking putting this out there and getting bad PR from it. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But yeah. Kind of a surprising decision by Lego, one that I'm not sure I entirely agree with. I think this sort of hypersensitivity mode that we go into about places is...
I don't love it.
It's not healthy.
Especially, I mean, Mandalay Bay, how old is that hotel? Yeah, I'm not discounting how tragic and terrible that was, but it is a major part of the Las Vegas skyline.
Yeah. And I believe one of the other buildings in here is the Wind Tower. So... maybe as long as you're getting rid of one of them.
So how sensitive are you being really?
Yeah, maybe you want to get rid of that one too, Lego.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You're listening to The Big Picture. We're going to wrap up tonight, as we always do, with That's a Thing That Happened, perhaps the weirdest story to happen in the past week. For me, five suspects were arrested in southern Spain after police officers carrying out a traffic stop found vehicles loaded with more than 8,000 pounds of stolen oranges. Yesterday, city officials in Sevilla released images of two cars and a van overloaded with the fruit after an alleged theft in the town of Carmon. The suspects were stopped last week when a police patrol became suspicious of the vehicles driving in a convoy at night. Five people were detained on suspicion of theft. Sevilla city security spokesman Juan Carlos Cabrera told Europa Press that the arrests were important not only in thwarting theft, but also in, quote, preserving the food security of the possible consumers who would have had these oranges, end quote. And I highly recommend that you look up the pictures online. They're hilarious. Like, that's the only way to describe them is... picture in your brain what a car overflowing with oranges looks like right now. That's exactly what it looks like.
So we got like midnight orange thieves running around. What's going on?
Where's the world coming to with citrus stealing happening?
Yeah, stop stealing citrus. That's not how that works.
How bad is your scurvy, man?
New Orleans. After a hurricane season that threatened severe flooding due to malfunctioning storm drains, city workers decided to give the drains a thorough cleaning. What they found along St. Charles Street was a stunner. 48 tons of carnival beads clogging the drains. 93,000 pounds of carnival beads clogging the drains.
Oh, you bunch of
sluts. This proves that it's difficult to grab carnival beads while you're taking your shirt off.
You're supposed to save those as trophies, you dummies.
And it has inspired city officials to investigate the use of bead-proof gutter covers for future Fat Tuesday frolicking. I'm not making it up. Please.
I like that both of our things that happened involved many pounds of a stupid